The reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord.
Fabulous. Well, we're delighted that you've included Kettering on your route from Bristol to Harrogate.
Great to be here, first time.
Let's reach out hand and pray for Jimmy, and then we'll let him speak to us. Father God, thank you for the journey you've taken Jimmy on over these years. Thank you for bringing him to this point. And we pray your fresh anointing for today's fresh task, that as he speaks to us, he might do so with the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Give him a tongue to speak your words and give us ears to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, just to say, it is lovely to be in Kettering. It is my first time in Kettering. And it was a great surprise to find out that Rob was from Gloucester, the neighbouring city, to Cheltenham. But then I remembered that this morning as I left my car keys and wallet on the seat, so I just put them in my bag, you know, not to let him fall into temptation. We do love people from Gloucester and Cheltenham, honestly. You know, it was great to worship with you guys this morning. And as we were worshiping, I just had this picture form of a battering ram. You know, like you see in these kind of medieval battles to smash down gates to get into a city. And I just felt the Lord saying that he is forming you guys as a weapon to attack the citadels of Satan. I just sense what the Lord wants to do amongst you is sharpen gifts. And he wants to equip and empowered, particularly in the gifts of the Spirit, and in the area of emboldening people, in the area of power evangelism. I'm going to touch a bit on that today, actually, because I am passionate that God wants to use all of us, that we all get to play, as John Wimber used to say. And I'll share some stories from Brazil, ways we've seen God at work there, but I want to encourage you guys as well. You know, God is in the business of working powerfully on the streets in the UK. I learnt to do power evangelism, if you like, not in Brazil, not on the beach, though we do it on the beach then. It's a great place to do mission, also touted as bikini evangelism. But learnt to minister in the power of the Spirit here in the UK. And there are people who are open and receptive still. Okay. Now, some may fail after the testimony of the gentleman who was leading worship this morning, reading 12 chapters a day of the Bible, that the reading was a bit light this morning. So let me read a bit more scripture, okay? Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Now, you would have heard it said, we are in the world, but not of the world. I want to add something to that. In one sense, yes, we are people. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We're of another world. We're of the kingdom. But also, we are called to give the world a taste of a different world. We are called to give this world a taste of the kingdom. So I want to focus today on being immersed in a different world, being immersed in the kingdom of God and living that out here in our day-to-day lives. One of the things we strive for as a church in Florianopolis, Brazil, is to be missionaries in everyday life. We're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to be light in this world, to shine in the darkness and to give the world a taste of the kingdom. And we read this morning, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Florianopolis, Brazil, or whether you are in some remote part of China, or in Kettering, or in Wales, wherever it could be, the surrounding culture, and particularly here in the West, perhaps that culture of consumerism, secularism, moral relativism, wants to shape us. It wants to invade. And we need to live from the kingdom, from the values of Jesus. We need to allow our minds to be renewed in order that we can be transformed. We need to allow our minds to be renewed by the Word of God. What a great thing to do, to read large chunks of Scripture, to also meditate on the Word of God as well, and allow that to form the way we understand God, the way we understand our world, the way we understand and see ourselves. We need our minds to be renewed. And what a great example from Andrew, who shared, I think I called you Andrew a few minutes ago, Rob, I'm sorry about that. Andrew's testimony, someone who has been renewed, they're thinking, they're not conforming to the way of this world. They've chosen to step away from a profession that is at odds with the Word of God, from something that is at odds with the value of the kingdom, to live out the kingdom's values here on earth. Also, we need to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. That's essential. Actually, biblically speaking, Ephesians 5, we should go on, 5:18, go on being filled. That's the sense in the Greek, go on being filled continually with the Spirit of God. We are a leaky people. And the culture of the surrounding world so often wants to invade us. It wants to conform us to its values, which are so often at odds with the values of the kingdom of God. And also an encouragement, we do not need to be fearful as Christians, as perhaps the society around us becomes more hostile. Now, in many ways, it's where I am in Brazil, it seems more acceptable to wear your faith on your sleeve. Sadly, in the UK, it seems that there is a real move to push Christianity out of the public sphere. But there is no need to be fearful, because the kingdom advances where there is hostility, or too often. It advances where there is adversity. That's the example of the early church. A persecuted movement grew rapidly throughout the Roman Empire. We see that in places today, like Iran, where there's very real persecution. The fastest growing church in the world today is apparently in Iran, where there are no buildings, and it's mostly led by women. And God is doing tremendous things where there's real opposition. And we should never be discouraged if we think, well, the public sphere is closing for conversation. I want to encourage you guys. God is a missionary God. He is always at work in people's lives outside of the four walls of church. There are always people open and receptive, ready to receive Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. So we can confidently engage with the world around us, knowing that our God is a missionary God, and we are called to be a missionary people. We are called to be light in this world. We are called to give people a taste of our God. And our faith should never, never, ever be about escaping this world. That should never be the goal of our Christian faith. We are as though we are in a departure lounge waiting for our flight to heaven. Christianity, the gospel, the kingdom of God is about transforming the world. Transforming the world one life at a time. Jesus' life and mission was about a new creation, the recreation of all things. And that involves people. That involves us. You know, God, he comes. Jesus came to heal and to restore. And that's what he does in our lives. He heals, he restores us. That's what he longs to do in the lives of those around us, whether that's in the workplace, mums and toddlers groups, the gym you go to, wherever. God longs to heal and restore people. And he also calls us to be instruments of his in this world. We are called to be part of bringing heaven to earth. We are called to give people a taste of the kingdom, a taste of a different world that Jesus inaugurated in his life and ministry. And that should be, that different world, that should be evident through our lives. Jesus, let your light shine before men. It should be evident in the way that we as Christians, as fellow believers, we love each other. We look after each other. Is our church family, is our community a place where people sense the warmth of God, the love of God? Are our relationships superficial or are they deep? Is our concern for each other sincere? People will see in the way we love each other. And people will see Christ in the way we love the world around us, the way we engage with people outside. We are a New Testament kingdom people. We ourselves taste and experience the inbreaking of the kingdom. You know, Romans 5, it talks about how we can be certain in hope because the Holy Spirit has been poured out into our hearts, or the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We can taste and experience the love of God. We can know the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, safeguarding our hearts and our minds. We can know Jesus' joy in the midst of difficult circumstances, trials, tribulations. We can know his joy. An amazing promise in Romans is that no matter what we go through, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. For 21 years, that's been my experience, following Jesus. Highs and lows, very real, difficult times, times of failure. But yet, the love of God has been the constant. That's the hope we have. That's what we have access to as believers. That's what we taste. But also, we can give the world around us a taste because we have access to the power of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit. He is the missional agent. He is the agent of the kingdom who brings that power of the kingdom into this present age, into our world. The signs of the kingdom are there to give this world a taste of the kingdom. We see that throughout Jesus' ministry. We see that throughout Acts and church history up until this present day, that the signs of the kingdom are available. Healing, giving a sign that there is a future resurrection, that one day we will receive resurrection bodies. But we can taste something of that now. Deliverance, a sign of God's victory, ultimate victory over the forces of evil, which we see play out now as people are set free from oppression. Many other signs that Jesus performed, multiplication of food, showing that in the kingdom there is abundance, there is no lack. And I am a firm believer that we all get to play when it comes to the ministry of the kingdom, when it comes to giving the world around us a taste of the presence and power of God. I like to define evangelism as an invite to encounter with Jesus. Not only do we proclaim Jesus, do we make him known with our words, but there is a demonstration of the kingdom's power. That is the model that Jesus used. That is the model that the early church used. And that is something we strive for as a church in Florianopolis, Brazil. That has been our form right from the get-go of how we do church, of how we evangelize. The first time we did a meeting for our church, we did an inductive Bible study in our living room, inviting folk from the gym, neighbors, just to come read the Bible with us and to receive prayer. First week, no one came, funnily enough, despite lots of people saying we'll come. The second week, on the day, I spoke to our landlords who lived in the same apartment complex. That evening, 8 o'clock in the evening, there was a knock on the door and they arrived. So we looked at John's Gospel together. We talked about that. They commented, isn't it lovely? They were kind of nominal Catholics who didn't really go to church or anything. Commented, isn't it lovely to read the Bible together? That was really cool. And I said, yes, it is. Can we pray? Can we pray for you guys? And do you have any pain in your body? And the husband's like, no, I don't. And then he gets an elbow from his wife, Gabby, saying, tell him about your back. So he says that 2 months prior, 2 months ago, he'd fallen when skiing in Chile, cracked his coccyx, and then his wife said that she has a hip problem. There's pain there. It's clicking all the time. It's been like that for months. So I simply said to him, yeah, I'm going to pray for you to be healed. We're going to pray, me and my wife. And I believe healing is one of the ways God likes to get our attention. Show us he's real. Show us he loves us and that he wants a relationship with us. Can we pray? We started to pray. Marcelo felt heat in his back. The pain subsided. He was quite impacted. He told us that he had to use a special cushion in work so it wouldn't hurt. His wife, she felt a lot of heat. The pain went, the clicking reduced, and within a couple of days, it completely stopped. And after encounters like that, we see that people are so open. And these are things that are quite common for us in Brazil. Some of my favorite stories are when people from the church just come back and share some of their stories of how they've prayed for people out in work, in the office place, wherever that may be. A couple of weeks ago, was out for food. We had a visiting speaker. Thought it'd be nice to take him for a burger. I'm quite classy like that. There was a young lad who was serving us, and I just had this impression that he had a bad neck. I think it was on the left side of his neck that he had some pain there. And as I went to pay, I just said to him in front of his colleagues, have you got some pain here? He's like, yeah, how do you know that? And I was like, well, sometimes God gives me impressions because he wants to heal that person. He wants to reveal his love. Can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah, sure, of course you can. So prayed in front of his colleagues. He felt heat there. The pain went. He was able to move his neck completely pain-free. We had a great conversation about Jesus. And he works every Sunday night. Our church is right next to there. And the last Sunday before I went, he came up to me and told me that next week I'm going to move. I'm going to move jobs and work during the day. And I want to start coming to your church, which is awesome. Praise the Lord. This becomes natural. This kind of ministry becomes natural as we immerse ourselves in the kingdom, as we immerse ourselves in a different world. We need to be proactive in pursuing his presence. That often means slowing down, making space in our lives to connect with God. It means being intentional about doing that. You know, we have the great tradition in New Wine of simply stopping, being quiet and praying, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. We can do that in our prayer lives as well, in our devotional lives. Make space for God. We don't need to force stuff to happen. We just need to give space and opportunity for the Spirit to come. We need to give invite to him. When it comes to advancing the kingdom of God, to doing the stuff outside the four walls of the church, if you like, I like to develop what I like to call a let's have a go mentality. I think that is what God asks of us. And that's a culture, as a church leader, I passionately want to release in our church in Florianopolis. You know, in one sense, give people permission, a permission-building culture. Let's have a go, for example, in our church, at praying for the sick. Let's have a go at praying for each other. Recently, there's a young lad, 23, that's young for me today, 23, who recently joined our church and had been diagnosed with testicular cancer, had some chemotherapy, if I'm not mistaken, but got to a point where, through the Brazilian equivalent of the NHS, the preventative measures he needed, or preventative chemo, checks were missed out, and found that the cancer had come back, and he was facing doing more chemotherapy. Very worrying. Young lad, married. As a church, people rallied around and just wanted to pray for him. And I said to the guys in the worship team he was part of and his small group leaders, after every meeting, or in every meeting, lay hands on and just pray. Pray for healing. Pray those simple prayers of command. Let's have a go. Let's persevere in prayer. He went back to the doctor. Cancer was gone. Praise the Lord. Create a culture where it's all right to have a go. There are many times where I pray for the sick, nothing happens, or others, it doesn't happen. But the important thing is that we persevere. As a church, we want to have a go at serving our community, trying different initiatives and projects. We tried a jiu-jitsu one that kind of didn't work out to serve our community, but now we're starting up a capoeira one. It's kind of like a Brazilian martial arts disguised as a dance. I would demonstrate it for you, but we haven't got time. you know, we give folk a go at leading and preaching. Of course, there's training. Of course, there's equipping. But we want a releasing culture where people can grow, because we grow as we go. As a church, we want to have a go at planting churches. We had an attempt last year. It didn't quite work out. But we now have another one, which we launched a new congregation early on this month. We're going to have a go as a church. That's what we're about. And I think that's important in our discipleship of others, that we are letting people have a go. There's a great Chinese proverb: I hear, I forget. I see, I remember. I do, I understand. And as we go, as we give stuff a go, as we let others have a go, we grow in our understanding. We grow in our competency. And as we step out and take risks for God, so often good stuff happens. Good stuff happens in people's lives. One of the things we want to have a go at now in Brazil is starting a training center. We're going to start the New Wine Discipleship Year, but compact it into 5 months, so we can't call it the Discipleship Year. We can call it Discipleship School. We're going to launch that in the middle of the year, and we want to start doing more to intentionally invest in those who have a call of leadership and church planting as well. Don't be afraid to persevere in stepping up for God, in having a go. I think God often loves to test our perseverance, and often comes great breakthrough when we stay the course. Whatever God has given you a vision for, whatever you sense he's called you to do, press into that and don't be afraid to persevere. If you want to see more healing as a church, don't be afraid to press into that and to persevere. Interesting enough, started seeing more healing when I started praying for people outside the church. I think there's something in God's economy about giving away the kingdom to a lost and a broken world. And God says, I can trust you. I can give you more. And when we are immersed in the kingdom, when we're proactive in seeking God, seeking his presence, it just becomes natural to live from this world we're immersed in. Often down the gym, I find myself praying for people. You know, when I wait, I try and get to the gym early in the morning in Brazil, and I don't kind of wake up feeling full of faith. I don't kind of wake up with my chest puffed out and thinking, man of God in the house. Often I can be grumpy, but it just becomes a habit. One morning recently, I was down there, and I saw a guy who I knew quite, gotten to know fairly well, and lovely guy, a bit bigger than me, bald head, tattoos everywhere, even on his head. And I said, yeah, I know, you've not been here for a while. What's happened? He said, well, I've hurt my arm, so I've not been able to train. I said, what have you done to it? And he says, I think they just strained it in the gym and then got whacked on it in jiu-jitsu. And I was like, can I pray for you? Just a habit, it just comes out, can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah, you can. Pray for the other arm as well, because that's hurting. So I prayed for him in the gym. And he felt heat there, and the pain went, and he was moving, and he was quite awestruck. And he had a great little conversation about Jesus. And he was telling me that he was just going to do some lightweights that day, but he's just going to go heavy now. And he just went heavy, trained, and nothing wrong. It becomes natural. There are times as well when not a lot happens. The day before I went, prayed for a lady who felt some improvement. It wasn't the whole shebang. She felt God do something. Had a good little conversation about Jesus. But the important thing is, give it a go. And it becomes a habit as we live from the kingdom of God, as we live emerged in that. So some practical steps coming into land. And I want to lead us into some ministry. Collaborate with God in your own transformation. As you pursue the kingdom, as you seek to be immersed, collaborate with him. And this is where spiritual disciplines come into it. And I believe as a church, you're looking at disciplines. Spiritual disciplines really are just a way of opening ourselves up to the grace of God. Not about earning brownie points or God giving us something in favor. It's simply a way of opening the windows of our soul, putting ourselves in the presence of God, before God, to be filled with him. And it facilitates that process of transformation, of sanctification, that the Spirit is working in us. We can be proactive in our own transformation, in being conformed, and it is a work of the Spirit, it is a work of grace, in being conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Make space in your life, in your diary, for the Holy Spirit. Invite him regularly. Quieten your heart. Kingdom ministry doesn't rest on our own efforts. It doesn't rest on our own determination necessarily. We need to make space for God and have a go at doing the stuff. Develop that let's have a go mentality. The results are with God. What he loves is our obedience. He loves it when we have a go. Even when I pray for someone, or I even have a word of knowledge for someone outside the church, and it's wrong, I thank God at least that I had the courage to do that. And I believe, in a way, he'll honor that. I've even had opportunities to gotten words of knowledge wrong and then had opportunities to pray for healing in something else in that person's body. So, you know, God can use it as well. But develop that let's have a go mentality. Have a go at doing the works of the kingdom. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You just got to be a bit crazy enough to give it a go. Amen?